WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Günter Grass, is one of Germany's best-known writers. Much of his writing, including his best-known novel, The Tin Drum, has dealt with the legacy of the Nazis. Grass is watching with alarm as a growing neo-Nazi movement attacks foreigners in Germany today. But he's not surprised. Since the mid-60s, in articles and speeches, he has spoken out against reunification. Some of those articles were collected in his recent book, Two States, One Nation. He wrote that a unified German state existed in varying sizes for no more than 75 years, and that state laid the foundation for Auschwitz. That place of terror is a permanent wound that makes a future unified German state doomed to fail. Part of what gives Grass an understanding of the Nazi movement today is that Grass himself was a member of a Hitler youth group in the 1940s. I asked him what he thinks is behind the rise of the neo-Nazi movement.
In East Germany, it was forbidden to speak out anything like this, and everything what was inside was hidden, the pot was closed, but not now the pot is open, and we can see what really was behind. But now this right-wing extreme people from East and West, that's one of the only results of unification we have, that they really come together. And the other reason, I think that it's very important that that some politicians in Germany belonging to the ruling party are speaking in the same way than the skinheads do. Sure, they have ties and they are well dressed and they know to use words, but it is the same aim. They want what they really want, to kick out the foreign people. And so they work together in a terrible way. And if it's not possible to stop this kind of policy coming from Bonn, from the government, it will be very difficult to stop the right-wing movement.
You don't support the tightening of controls of immigrants seeking political asylum?
No, I think this is a great fault. If this is coming from the extreme right-wing, there was no reason to follow this line. And if they are doing this as they want, it will be a triumph of the right wing. And they will go on with their terror. Not only the government, also the police is blind on the right eye. They are very, very successful and very immediately to the point if there is a protest action of the left wing. There's a reaction is quite immediately. But if the things are coming from the right, they are lazy, they don't see it, they are looking for excuses and so on.
The government has banned two neo-Nazi groups, and it asked the Supreme Court to restrict freedom of speech for two of the leaders to prevent them from instigating violence. Do you support that?
No, that's we have laws enough, and we what was possible before to stop this movement in the beginning, and they didn't. They only see if there's a protest coming from the left side, then the reaction is quite quick. But from the right side, it's now, for this case, it's too late.
So tell me more about why you don't support banning the neo-Nazi groups.
Because this young people, this is only the end of something. Was years ago. There are social reasons behind, and we have to speak with these people. We have to discuss with them, also if they don't want to discuss. Just to ban, that's the same policy you had in the communistic country, where it was forbidden to speak out. And there was no help. Now this government break down, and we see what's the result. I don't think that it's very, very helpful to make it by ban policy like they're trying to do now.
My guest is Günter Grass, and he has a new novel called The Call of the Toad. I want to ask you a little bit about your childhood. I know that you were a member of the Hitler Youth,
yes.
And you joined a Hitler organization at age 10. Did your parents want you to join the Hitler group?
they never spoke about it, but it was normal that everybody has to go. And I liked to go too. It was marvelous for a 10 years old boy to go with his groups, with a tent and with a flag playing Boy Scouts like this. It wasn't political at all in the beginning. It became more and more political. Was a really successful propaganda done by the Nazis, and they really were successful to organize the youth movement. And for me, the breakdown was when I was 16, 17. I became soldier with 16, the last year of the war, and with 17 the war was over, and I was in American prison camp, prisoner of war. And slowly I discovered what really has happened. And in the beginning I didn't believe. I thought this is propaganda what they are telling us. It's not possible. The German people has done this. And then some weeks later started this in Nuremberg, this war criminal process, and I listened to the radio. And I heard my former youth leader, Baldo von Schirach, and he said, yes, that's true, that's terrible. We have done this things, this kind of crimes. And he tried to apologize the youth movement. He said they didn't know anything what was true. But from this moment on, it was clear for me what has happened. And this knowledge never left me.
Did you ever challenge what you were taught, and what would have happened to you if you expressed your questions?
But there was no many questions. We were very sure that we are on the right side, and everybody was against us, and we are surrounded by enemies, and we have to be strong. And I did believe this up to the age of 17.
Your parents were pro-Nazi?
My parents my father membered the party in 1936. He was one of this middle class opportunists who did go with a mess.
Now I've read about you that after the war you were wounded at the end of the war and captured.
Yeah.
And then when the war was over, as part of this like denazification program, mm, you were forced to see the newly liberated death camp of Dachau.
Yes.
Can you explain how that happened? I wasn't aware of that there was a program in,
yes,
which...
Yes, there was this kind of re-education program.
Mm-hmm.
Very naive then. And as I told you in the beginning, I always said that's propaganda. And only when we heard on the radio our former Hitler Youth leader speaking out what has happened, and all this propaganda lies were washed away, and I started to see clear.
What was it like when you saw Dachau?
I didn't believe. I saw the camp, it was awful, but I didn't believe what really has happened there in the beginning.
So even seeing it, you didn't believe it?
Yeah.
So when you actually heard your youth leader testify at the Nuremberg trials and you realized, wow, this was really true, did you immediately change? Did you immediately stop believing the propaganda you were taught? Or was that a much slower process?
Yes, was it immediately a shock? But it took me more than 2 or 3 years really to come to the point. And I was reading books about it, and I informed myself. And I had the chance in the western part of Germany to look out for my own way, to find my own political point of view. If I see to... people of my generation who did grow up in East Germany, it was much more difficult for them because they changed in changing the shirt, the brown shirt of the Nazi youth movement against the blue shirt of the communistic youth movement. There was no time between and no chance for them to find to make their own decision. This is one of the different things we had in East and West Germany. And Then after the war, when after this prison camp, I was always interested to be an artist, as a sculptor. My first professional training was as a stonemason, and afterwards I entered the art school in Düsseldorf and then in Berlin. But in all this time, I also started to write poems, playwrights, and read a lot of books, mixed and wild, without any program. I had the feeling I have to do very quick, because in the Nazi time we didn't get this kind of literature. It was in the end of the 40s and the beginning of the 50s when I first read novels of Hemingway and Faulkner and Kafka and all this forbidden literature. It was very important for me when I was young.
I guess that's another experience that a lot of people in East Germany wouldn't have had.
No, Kafka was forbidden afterwards too in East Germany.
My guest is writer Günter Grass. He has a new novel called The Call of the Toad. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. German writer Günter Grass is my guest. Why do you think that the neo-Nazi movement today is made up of young people? These aren't the people who lived through the war. These are the people who were born after the war.
The reasons are mixed up. There's one, I told you that the social situation in East Germany is terrible. And this young people in East Germany before were organized in the communist youth movements. And now the houses they had, the youth houses, are closed. They're on the street. They are unemployed. They are the first victims of this other participation we have now in Germany. We don't have any more a wall, but Germany is divided a second time in Germans of first class belonging to the West and Germans of the second class belonging to the East. And this situation, this terrible result of a too quick reunification is creating hate. The first rate of hate is between Germans, East and West Germans.
Do you think the East Germans resent the West Germans?
Both. From West, they are, if they go to East, they're speaking like nice colonial officers to them. Please do like this. If you will be successful, as we are in capitalism, you have to forget about this, and you do this. They're always teaching them. And then they see the results. The result is unemployment and a terrible economic situation, and it is starting with mistrusting each other, and then hate is growing, and this hate between the Germans is in the next step to other people, to foreigners who are in a more bad situation than the second class Germans in East Germany. It's going down and down.
Where do you live now?
I live in Berlin. And outside, on the country, in Schleswig-Holstein, the north of Germany.
What are some of the ways you've seen Berlin change since reunification?
Now, we live first time after many years without a wall, but East and West Berlin still exists. The people don't mix up. I think we have the wall still in the head. And this is what I said in the beginning of our discussion or conversation, that the quick reunification don't give us the chance to do it in a slow way, to come nearer together. Now the economic situation, the bad economic situation in East Germany, is overwhelming everything.
Have you been watching a lot of refugees from Bosnia and Herzegovina settling in Germany?
Yes, in my Berlin house, where my one of my sons is living, we have every weekend a family from Bosnia coming. My son is getting them, picking them up, the grandmother and the mother and one child, and then they come to our house and we try to speak together. It's very, very difficult. And the young mother with a boy is still missing the husband. There are coming no news from there, and we are really confronted with this problem. Problems, what is happening there. And I think it's a shame a shame for Europe and for the Western world that we were not able to see these problems coming before. That, now that's now 12 years after the death of Tito, and it was clear that after the death of this extraordinary man who was able to keep all this together, the things will change there. But nobody was prepared, and still nothing is happening. Perhaps there's no oil, that there was no reaction from the Western side. This may be one reason, but in any case, it's a shame for Western Europe and also a shame for the United States that nothing really happens there.
Does the war in the former Yugoslavia seem very close to you?
Yes, it's happening in Europe, and it's bringing us back to difficult and dangerous things in European history. Looking back to the beginning of the First World War, who started in Sarajevo. And I see clearly the danger that this war is in the beginning. It can jump in the next weeks and months to the Kosovo, that means Albania. It can jump to Macedonia, because there the Serbian side and the Greek side and the Bulgarians and the Turkish are interested. And there are so many reasons that this localized war in Yugoslavia can be the beginning of a Third World War.
You think that's possible?
It is possible because the Western world, who seemed to be or believed to be the winner of the Cold War, now is without an enemy and are really confused. They are stupid like winners are. Accept this fact that the communistic world is now away. There's no solution. There's no plan of help. After the Second World War, the United States were strong enough and to create this Marshall Plan. It was a great help for Europe. This time, nothing is happening.
One last question: since you are a prominent writer in Germany, and since you've always been associated with liberal politics, have you become anything of a target to the right?
Yes, sure. It was in 1965 they burned the door of my house in Berlin, and I got a lot of dirty letters, and also in these days, and also in the last 2 years, in the last year, two times. We are living outside the village on the forest, and two times cars stopped amid the nights and crying right-wing paroles, but my wife and me, we are not very much afraid.
I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Günter Grass's new novel is The Call of the Toad.